There's lots of research in this region on valley fever, both on humans and on dogs. And there's a new project which aims to apply an approach researchers often use on people to dogs by tracking them over time. With me to talk about it is Jane Lawless, manager of the Canine Valley Fever Project. And Jane, what exactly are you trying to do with this project?
We have this disease. We now have a congressional task force for valley fever. And it's such a big deal, and nobody seems to be able to get a handle on it. We have a really, really insidious kind of pathogen, primarily in Arizona. Maricopa County has more cases than anybody else. And by some estimates, it's affecting up to 28% of the dogs in Maricopa County and possibly Pima and Pinal counties. So the purpose of our study is actually it's taking something extremely complex and kind of gleaning it down into simple terms. So the first thing we wanted to do is get people to come in and get their dogs tested early. So the first part of that is getting people the awareness campaign and understanding that they live in an area, a third of the dogs that live there could be infected with this. And if you jump on it early, you can most likely head it off at the pass. If you wait until there's symptoms, it could be too late. Ultimately, what we'll do is we'll have a number of sets of data. And pet owners come in, they'll have to have a full battery of tests. There's 70 biomarkers that we'll be measuring. And one of the things we've added that's really, really exciting is the PCR test. And PCR is polymerase chain reaction. That measures the DNA of the coccyorganism. We're going to hopefully get more accurate by looking for the DNA of the organism, and we're going to pair all this together.
So is the point that you register these dogs, they get a screening to sort of get a baseline of where they're at, and then you track them over time, a year or more, to see either if they have valley fever, how their symptoms are progressing, or if they contract valley fever over that time?
Exactly.
So what do you learn from that? What does that tell you?
Well, the last study that was done in 2005 was an incident of infection study, and that's where they came up with the 28% of the dogs in these counties are infected. But the other part of that is they said, but some of them go on to get sick and some of them are not sick. So that leads to a question of, again, with the diagnosis and treatment of the disease, are we over-treating dogs that aren't sick? Are we not detecting dogs that are sick? So for our purposes, is we want to get a new, certainly the incidence in people has gone up. It's really actually skyrocketed. So what we want to try to do is get a better assessment of the number of dogs that have the disease or are exposed to disease, are sick from the disease, and also dogs that get sick. And then also with that is an owner questionnaire. And so we'll be following all of these things, diet, medical history, vaccination history, and we'll be seeing, does a dog get sick? What things happen that might trigger the dog to get sick, a healthy dog? Or what things go on that might make a sick dog sicker?
Are there variations in how different breeds of dog either react to having valley fever or contract it in the first place?
Well, that's the current theory, and that's why everybody's studying the DNA of people and the saliva of dogs to see if there is some kind of aberrant gene that leads to this. But we have to remember that genes also dictate a part of the microbiome of this dog. And the microbiome, which is the bacteria and the virus and the fungal organisms and yeast, they're all normally in a balance. And so part of the microbiome also comes from the environment. And so we want to look at what might be creating imbalance in that microbiome.
Do you think that what you find might in any way relate to the research going on as far as valley fever in humans?
Oh, there's no question. Because pet dogs really mimic, except for the gut flora, they mimic people in many, many ways. And, you know, we've kind of become a society, and I have to be careful when I say this, but we tend to get black and white about disease, and we don't consider that there could be things that we're doing that predispose us. Now, we know that drugs and immunotherapy and things that, you know, if you have cancer, you're much more predisposed, if you're doing chemo, but what we're talking about, you know, just like when you're walking along and you feel good, and then by evening you think you're getting something, and then you get up in the morning and you have a cold. What causes that? You never get rid of the cold virus. You just keep it in remission. It's in your microbiome. It's under control. So we're looking for the same thing in pet dogs, and we will absolutely apply that to human research. There's no question. And not only that, Mark, we have in our software where people will put in the city and zip code. So we're going to be able to look for concentrations by zip code. We're going to go around when people enter this and we see lots of positives and it's in this certain zip code. That's really specific. Nobody's done anything like that. And that will tell people living in that zip code, be careful, or let's control how many pools we put in or what we do when we're doing construction.
Jane Lawless is manager for the Canine Valley Fever Project. Jane, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you.